Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com.
Hey, Sex with Simmery people. You should totally come join me at the Philadelphia Podcast Festival. It's August 1st through 3rd at Philomoka and Philly Camp. You can come out and see three nights of great Philly-based podcasts, and they're recording their shows live in front of you, the audience. The lineup for some of the shows includes Talkadelphia, Story Shuffle, Talking Nerdy, The Pincushion, Stark Raven Mad, Potent Brew, and of course me, Sex with Timmery, and more. Plus, there's going to be special guests, contests. I'm bringing pole dancers, y'all. There's going to be a whole lot of excitement. So find out more information about the shows and tickets at phillypodfest.com. Welcome to Sex with Timmery. This is Dr. Timmery, and I am super pleased as punch to introduce to you Moira.
Hello.
Moira is a topless activist, and I would like to tell you right now that she's topless, but that would be lying to you, and I don't lie to you. But yeah, so how often are you topless? How often are you not topless?
I'm topless whenever it's nice out and, you know, it's weather permitting. I go topless in public. If I'm going outside, I'll go topless.
How's the effect of climate change? How does that determine your
well?
Your trajectory
okay,
now?
Sometimes when it rains, I go out topless too.
I would think that would be the best time because it would feel pretty cool.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah,
it's true.
So it's been like in Philadelphia right now. It's been raining for like 17 days straight. Has that like put a damper on anything, or is it?
It has. Yeah, okay. I don't really go topless that much when it's raining.
Okay,
but I do once in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what? What does it mean to be a topless activist?
Okay, so I just want to make it clear that in Philadelphia or in Pennsylvania, the nipples do need to be covered. So mm-hmm. Here I usually wear pasties, or I also just bought a little triangle top that's still considered legal here. And so basically I do demonstrations in public exercising my right to go topless as much as possible. In whatever district I happen to be in. So it could be in Pennsylvania or in New York. In New York, it's legal to go totally topless. Wherever men can go without a shirt, women can. So, and I also demonstrate sometimes indoors, like in yoga studios here in Philadelphia. Actually, Diana Yoga Studios have agreed to allow women to practice topless because guys can. So that's pretty cool.
So the purpose of this is this a like raising awareness? Are you trying to specifically enact legislation? What drives you?
Yeah, for a lot of people, when they see me, they think like, is that legal? I actually hear people say that, or they ask me, is it legal? And in New York, for example, much of the population didn't know that it was legal, and it's been legal since 1992. Even here, where I have my nipples covered, people do ask, is that legal? Can she do that? And even actually the police officers here, some of them don't know. I've actually been falsely arrested, even in Philadelphia, with my nipples covered.
So how does that go down? Like, what? How does an arrest go for a crime such as nipples, having nipples?
So basically, like, you know, I was sitting in Rittenhouse Park the one time, and I guess somebody called and complained. They thought that I was completely topless, or I don't know. They thought what I was doing was illegal. And the cops came over, and they were like, you have to put on a shirt. I was like, no, I don't. And then they arrested me, and they detained me for a little bit. And then they released me when they found out that it's legal.
So it sounds like one of the problems, of course, is that somebody complained, because that's evidently a complain-worthy offense. What with you being all... a mammal and whatnot. Damn you. But also there's like a really big ignorance thing, because you actually informed me before we started recording. I didn't realize that it was all New York State. I thought it was just New York City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like, who does know? Like, how many people actually know what's going on?
Well, that's the thing, is that there's not that many women exercising their right. And that's why when people say, oh, well, they think they've never seen it before, therefore it's not legal.
Okay.
So that's why I'm trying to, I'm doing it to show that women are able to do it legally.
And are you familiar, like, with the history of these laws, like why they started and when they started? Like,
yes,
what's the background?
I am. In New York, basically in the 80s, there were 7 women that challenged the law in Rochester, New York. So they decided to go top free. They're called the Top Free 7 and have a picnic. I have seen some footage of it. Ramona Santarelli was, I guess, the leader of it. And they did it specifically to challenge the law, which said that in the penal code of New York State said that the female areola could not be exposed. And they claimed that that was unconstitutional because due to the Equal Protection Clause, they can't say that females would be criminalized for doing something that the male wouldn't. And basically, it was that was a case in the 80s, and then in the 1992, they finally actually appealed the law. But the law was actually not rewritten, so it's not actually that easy to find out that it is legal. But based on that precedent, they cannot make a legal arrest. So there have been false arrests since then.
And there was a lot of time where it was like technically legal, but a lot of the cops weren't informed. There was a lot of...
Well, they were informed, I'm sure. There was obviously a lot of, you know, misunderstanding or miseducation about it, or ignorance, I should say. I've heard that at the time, in the 90s, a lot of women actually did do it. But they were so ridiculed and humiliated by the public that it stopped as a general trend. Then, in the late 90s, I know that there was a false arrest, Phoenix Feely, who was topless in the middle of the night, and somebody arrested her. And, you know, for me, I knew that it was legal, but I never saw it in New York. And I wanted to go topless in a yoga class, and they said I couldn't, in a place where, you know, guys can go without a shirt, which I thought was really unfair. And when I realized that, I was like, you know, might as well. I can be an activist. Why not?
Yeah, why does it matter to you? Why is this an issue with which you connect?
So, why does it matter? Well, several different things. Like, first of all, they're infringing on my freedom if I want to practice yoga without a shirt. You know, I think it's a really simple thing. And specifically considering that there's about 80 to 90% females in any kind of yoga classroom. And due to the nature of yoga, like, you barely even see anybody else's chest because everyone's facing in the same direction. And it's an all-adult context. So the fact that that was, like, actually an issue, it just, you know, it made me want to be more active. And it's not really that big of an inconvenience for me to just live my life in public without a shirt.
Well, I think it's also really interesting the way that you phrase that, where it's like, well, it shouldn't be a big deal because we're facing the same direction. It's all adult. But still, like, that sort of has this implied message that still there are caveats. And that's a really interesting thing, that we assume that there should be caveats anyway. Because what is it about female chess that we have to have, like, these, you know, explanations for?
Right.
What... why do you,
like,
even
it has to be sexual or something?
Yeah,
people,
why do
you think it has to be sexual? And even if it is sexual, what's the problem?
Okay, yeah, like, definitely that as well. Yeah. So in the context, let's stick to yoga just for a moment. Like, what is the concern? Like, just that they have either expressed to you or that you think is driving their concern. Like, what do they think is the problem?
Okay, I will tell you the concern. The manager told me that they're worried about lawsuits. So, for example, you know, with yoga, they have had lawsuits before against instructors based on the way the instructor has touched the student. They felt violated, and they felt, I don't know, that it was sexual harassment, I guess.
That when, like, an instructor went around and was doing, like,
Adjustments, okay. Physical adjustments, people have actually sued.
Interesting.
The yoga school or the instructor.
Okay.
And so they felt that for women to be able to go top free would encourage an overly sexually charged environment whereby they would be more vulnerable to having lawsuits pressed against them.
Fascinating. But...
but nevertheless, they allow men to go without a shirt.
Because men's chests are not sexual?
Quote unquote, yeah, not sexual, I guess.
I mean, that also raises all these questions about, you know, if it's sexually charged, like, does that mean that they shouldn't have male instructors if
sexually a class... Sexually charged for who?
Also. Right? Also true.
Right? Because we're looking at it from the heterosexual male eye, basically.
And
that female breasts are sexual.
Well, and...
But what about me? Okay. Right?
It just,
I mean,
like,
is it sexual for me? And I think that I define it, not somebody else.
I agree. Yeah, I agree with you. What is the origin of, are these laws things that like came with the inception of the country? Like, did they happen in like the 1800s? Where does this? Who can we blame?
Honestly, I don't know the answer to that. But I know that in the 60s and 70s, you know, I guess in New York, for example, you know, women of that period were like taking off their shirt a lot, I guess, like here and there. They were like, you know, that's not fair, free love, whatever, you know. And then finally it came down to people that actually really did want to challenge the law. In Pennsylvania, I have no idea really about the history, but this brings up an interesting point because, well, actually, a friend of mine, Holly Van Vost, she did a documentary about the issue of toplessness, and it's called Topless Shock Syndrome. And it should be coming out in a film festival probably sometime soon. But I've seen it, and Ramona Santarelli was in it, and she was talking about how in the 20s and 30s it was illegal for women to actually bare their arms and legs. And there has been a point in time as well on the beach where men were actually prohibited from taking off a shirt.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so actually men had to protest and go without a shirt on the beach until they finally appealed that. And they did.
I mean, this is starting to sound like one of those climates where, you know, women like legally have to be covered in any other, I mean, where it might be in a Muslim country where you have to have your hair covered or your arms covered or something like that. Like, it's all sort of like on that spectrum.
Oh,
of,
sure.
Arbitrary.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, what body parts are sexual? Evidently hair. Evidently arms.
Right.
Evidently ankles. Are there parts that aren't sexual? Has anybody ever protested bare... what part isn't sexual? Because, like, the people that are covered everything but butt, it's usually eyes. And to me, that's, like... such an incredibly charged body part. You can read so much about mm-hmm. a person's emotion, and like, you know, your eyes dilate when you're aroused, which is why we have such a big climate of like, you know, focusing on eye beauty and making up the eyes more than any other part of the face, and you know, staring long into your lover's eyes. Like, what part isn't sexual?
But they wouldn't be able to see if they had a whole piece of fabric over their eyes.
And then there's that too, yeah. There's that level as well, where you literally can't see any part of a human body at all because just the whole thing is dirty and wrong and bad. Yeah. Did you guys know that? Did you guys know bodies are bad? Just every part of them? That quote from Calvin. No. So your personal history with this, how long have you been an activist?
Since basically the whole yoga studio incident happened in January of 2012.
Okay.
So yeah. And so what happened with that was I went top free and then I did it again and they asked me to put my shirt back on and I didn't do it. And then they basically told me that I couldn't go practice there again. So they kicked me out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then that was in the middle of January, like I said, in the winter. And so at that point I decided when the weather got nice that I would do it in public. Almost like I didn't know that it really would be legal because I had never seen it happen, but I did it, and it was. I was within my legal limit.
So you'd mentioned the yoga studio's objections, and a little bit ago you mentioned that some of the women in New York had faced a lot of ridicule. What sort of reactions are you receiving?
Well, in New York it was varied because, first of all, not everybody of the New York population knew that it was legal. And there's also a lot of foreigners. So there's a lot of different reactions to it. And there's a lot of energy in New York. So it was just, it was very diverse, I would say. Some people, I mean, I have been like yelled at. People tell me to put on a shirt. And I mean, a lot of people smile, or they take, a lot of people take pictures. In Philadelphia, it's been generally a very positive response, I would say.
What does positive mean? Like, are people actually
they're
talking
like,
to you?
They're like, you go, or, girl. Yeah? Or they, like, smile at me. They're like, wow, that's awesome. You look great. Or, you know, I can't stop looking at you. Men and women both say that kind of thing.
Is there any tendency of women to get mad about it?
Maybe passively. But, no, not to my face. But that's when I think the cops get called, is because they're, I don't know, maybe it's women, maybe it's men. I shouldn't make any assumptions, I guess.
Yeah, because there's all these generalizations about women having a very visceral reaction of anger to seeing another woman be overtly sexual. And there, you know, there's lots of theories as to whether that's sort of like competition then, or if it's like, if you're not having to follow the rules, I'm mad because I'm following the rules, or that sort of thing. But it sounds like in your experience, that's not really what you're hearing.
Right, right. I would say definitely the first time I ever did, I think that was what it was. Like I said, in the yoga studio, 80 to 90%, I mean, maybe even more than that, of the class was women out of 40 people, you know? And so I think there was, you know, maybe some anger, or I don't know. Some expressed, you know, hostility that they made a complaint about it. But here, you know, I think it's fine. I mean, women have been fine, pretty much. A lot of women have been supportive and want to take pictures. They're like, you're so beautiful, or, you know.
And how do you feel about the pictures part of it?
I feel that that helps people see that it's real. And that was my point, is to see that it's okay to be in public like that. And so if more people see it as a result, it'll spread awareness even more so. So I don't mind.
So do you have any concern that, like, because for me, like, I would want to wear fewer clothes than I do now in public. But sometimes I don't, because I don't like the fact that I get attention. I don't like people who look and remark and would take pictures. So, what about women who would like to do it, but like they don't want to have the pictures and the talking that it sounds like you're more comfortable with?
Yeah, well, I hope that it's just a matter of time before it does become normalized. That's the point of doing it, mm-hmm. is for me and other women who do maybe feel more comfortable, you know, with actually standing up for it in that way. But as an individual, it's always up to you whether you want to have your picture taken or not, and you can always say you're not comfortable. But I'm not sure what I would suggest, per se. One would be maybe to do it indoors, like at a yoga studio, for example, if you practice yoga, or at a gym, you know, where you're really not as approachable, I would feel and think. And people aren't going to have their camera out and be like, oh, can I take a picture? And I'm also open to that, you know, and I would respond in a way that's like, yeah, sure. If, you know, some people do feel like a little bit reluctant, I can tell, to talk to me or anything like that. So if that would be the general vibe that you give out, like, I don't want to be talked to and I don't want to no pictures or anything, then people may respond accordingly.
It's interesting that you bring up gyms, because I'm thinking about the climate of gyms as, like, based on the signage that's posted there. They're usually trying to, like, encourage a specific climate based on, you know, what they choose to tell you to do and what not to do. And a lot of the gyms will expressly now have something about don't take pictures of people, because that is an issue, especially in the locker rooms. They'll actually make rules about no phones out in the locker room, because there have been incidents of people taking pictures and then posting them online without people's consent. And I guess they're just trying to encourage people to just feel free to work out and not be super conscious of, you know, like, this picture's going to end up somewhere. And then, interestingly enough, I'm thinking of one of the gyms where I work in particular, and there's a sign that says, and it's trying to be, like, snarky cute, and it's like, ladies, if we can see your nipples through your shirt, it's unacceptable. I mean, and they draw some comparison to Little Kim, and I'm like, it's even through your shirt. like, not only do you have to have your body covered, but like that we can't even get an idea.
Like, well, do they require a shirt?
The gyms that I work at, yeah.
Okay, so like could a woman just wear a sports bra, for example?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that would probably fly.
So a woman could go with an itty-bitty bikini then also.
You know, I don't know. I don't, I feel like...
Because the nipples are covered, period.
I feel like there's the law of whatever, like if they actually went and looked on their books and saw if they have rules about these things, they may or may not actually have rules, like in the contract that you sign when you join or something. But then there's, periodically there'll be, and I have read these emails and been like, what? Like a manager will send a message to like all the members that says something, just a reminder, you know, you have to have like your butt cheeks covered because people are wearing like short shorts. And, you know, just reminding members to dress according to something, you know, mm-hmm. that probably was never expressly written anywhere and might be very much a judgment call. And also, I think there's, you know, there's a question of, do they police it differently depending on the body? Like, if you're a certain age or a certain size, are people more likely to consider it sexual or consider it, like, offensive or whatever?
That's a great point. Yeah, I'm actually currently, I'm going to be filing a complaint against Bikram Yoga Studio because they allow all of the men to go without shirts, and yet they won't let a woman go while wearing pasties.
And isn't, like, the guy who invented Bikram also in trouble for sexual harassment anyway? Like, that with his students? Like, he had, like, separately, totally unrelated to that?
But, yeah, it's an interesting thing because, you know, I don't know. Maybe women just wear, like, a bra because they think that it's just normal. Like, we're raised to wear a bra, for example. But when you think about it, it's like, well, if the option was there that you could just, like, wear pasties at a yoga class or wear pasties in public or while swimming, you know, and these businesses need to know this because they need to be, you know, acting in accordance with the law and allowing women, and rather than violating women's civil rights. It may seem like a small issue, but they're the one that's making a big issue by saying that it's not allowed.
The impression I've gotten now, I'm a member of the Itty Bitty Titty Committee, so for me, going topless would have absolutely no effect on my athletic performance. But I have spoken to women who've told me that they wear multiple bras when they're working out because otherwise it gets painful. Mm-hmm. Like the up and the down, and they get hit, and like the pulling, and they certainly wouldn't be able to do any cardio. Nothing of that nature. But it sounds like for you, it's makes working out more comfortable.
Yeah, sure. It's for me, like, I was just hot when I was practicing yoga and I wanted to practice without a shirt to help regulate my temperature. And certainly in a hot yoga studio, that would be the case.
And so, yeah, yoga would probably be an example of something where it wouldn't necessarily interfere with your ability to
right.
do the workout.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
For running, though, I think it would probably still be a matter of, like, utility. I
mean, sure,
if you want to go topless... By all means, it might slow you down. You might have to stop and be like, and then you need ice.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's like to have those big ones.
Well,
that
you know,
look
there's
like
so many cultures where women do like go topless. Everybody goes topless.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what your size is.
Yeah.
Right? So do they run?
Well, I mean, we're also a particularly gym-focused culture. Like, mm-hmm. our exercise all comes from, like, compartmentalizing it. Because we're, like, sitting all the time in front of a computer. And then we're, like, driving or sitting on a bus. And then, you know, so we have to go someplace to run on a treadmill. As opposed to a lot of the world where just existing is mm-hmm. your exercise. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think that's different. But that's a huge point. Like, what about all of the parts of the world where people just don't anyway, and it doesn't seem to inhibit...
No one wears shirts.
Social functions
Even
either.
Even Native American, you know, it was popular in Native American times for women not to wear any shirt, like just like the guys.
So it seems more of a Western invention to you?
A Western... What specifically?
The idea of being as covered up as possible?
I'm not sure. I can't say for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not... super well versed in this history, but like it seems to me the confluence of beliefs that would support that would be both, you know, if you're coming from a part of the world where it's cold, maybe there might be a socialization around that. And then perhaps also, you know, more of a puritanical belief about bodies,
right,
that sort of thing, maybe a confluence of those two, mm-hmm, factors. If you live in the part of the world where, you know, the temperature is 90 degrees every day and there is no air conditioning, like, you can't have that moral belief. That's
sure. In Australia, it's been legal also for years for women to go topless in public wherever they want.
Really? Yeah. In all of Australia?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that. I was totally there and I didn't do anything about it. So in your history, you have also had jobs where you were topless as well. Does that, like, influence... Or did you go into that job because you just felt comfortable with it? Like, how is that related?
Well, yeah, I am comfortable with my body. But yeah, basically I was working as an exotic dancer for about 7 years. And I think that I felt the need to maybe, like, escape from all the context of my breasts being so sexual whenever I showed them. I think that's what I was actually looking for when I was practicing yoga, is, like, healing. And so for me to connect with my body and be able to go top free in an environment that I defined as non-sexual, I think was healing for me.
That's interesting. That reminds me, in fact, I've seen, not that I've been present at, but I've seen ads for and heard people who have gone to all naked yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And it's generally in a one... gender context, and mostly I've heard about all men, which is interesting. Are you familiar with all women spaces that have naked yoga?
Yeah, I am. Okay. In New York, I've never actually personally been, but they have, like, goddess yoga classes.
Interesting. And so is the idea there just be in your body, like, fully, like, what's the...
I guess so. I really don't know that much about naked yoga.
Okay.
Yeah, I like to approach it from, like, I don't really consider myself a nudist.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of like asking a guy, like, who doesn't wear a shirt, like, are you all for, like, nudity? Or,
okay,
you know, like, for me, it's just like I like practicing normal yoga but without a shirt.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of, so, like a guy.
So it seems like there's still a line for you, though. Like, so what is that then to you about, you know, like, would you want to practice yoga, like, in a thong?
No, not really.
Okay.
Maybe a thong. I don't know.
Or just a merkin.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, a merkin is, it's a fake pubic hair just to cover up the vulva. It's like, the origins are that the hundreds of years ago, sex workers would wear them because they're occasionally they would lose their hair because of STIs and, you know, terrible hygiene in the time period. And so a merkin was a thing to make them look like they were healthy. And then it has since transformed to be something that you would wear, like, if you're going to do a nude scene in a movie and you wanted to keep yourself covered. So you wear a thing that looks like it's hair, and then you can't see actual vulva so much. Or you would wear it for a sex scene so you're not actually touching somebody else's genitals when you're grinding. So that's what a merkin is. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It's kind of like, I would compare, like, practicing yoga topless to, like, going on a beach topless. It's
okay.
Like, so these questions, like, would you wear a thong? Like, I don't know. I mean, I would probably just wear normal bikini bottoms on the beach.
Okay.
Just like I would wear, like, normal pants or shorts practicing yoga, but I want to practice without a shirt.
Okay. And how would you feel about if, you know, you came across a bottomless activist? Like, would you feel like that was camaraderie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Totally. I mean, I have actually spoken to a couple people that are, like, barefoot activists.
Okay.
So they, like, go in public, like, without ever wearing shoes because they just don't want to. And they're, I guess, like, protesting some of the laws as well. Yeah, I think that's cool. Good for them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you join in solidarity? Would that be a thing that
I'm
you'd...
not really big on the barefoot thing.
Okay.
I don't want to, like, get my feet all dirty and I don't know.
But I think that's a pretty good point. It's like, I can see what you're doing and feel solidarity, but it's not for me.
Right.
Might be. Is that kind of what you're just sort of, like, aiming for other people?
Plus, if I went, like, barefoot, it would be like, oh, like, she's topless and barefoot. Uh-oh. Like, she's crazy.
I don't know what shoes I had pictured you wearing, like, when you're protesting. I don't think I'd thought about it. So you just wear, like sandals, running shoes? What's going on
sandals.
There?
Sandals.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought that far down. Mm-hmm. I just, like, I got distracted, I guess, theoretically. That's interesting. I wonder how what you're wearing on the bottom and the shoes affects the perception.
Well, I mean, people already do, like, think, like, does she just not have money for a shirt? Like, is
really?
She crazy? Like, do you need a shirt? Yeah, like, people are like, do you need a shirt? Like, I can buy you a shirt if you want.
Interesting. So, and they're being sincere? They're not being, like, sarcastic and passive-aggressive about it?
I think so. I think they're actually being, some of them are being sincere anyway. And the same thing is, like, for people that aren't wearing shoes, is, like, that people may assume, oh my gosh, this person doesn't have money to buy shoes. Or they're crazy. Like, why aren't they wearing shoes? You know, they have to. But that's another myth, I guess, that people who are walking around barefoot are saying, like, it's okay. You know, I'm not sick. Maybe my feet are dirty, but, you know, I'm perfectly healthy and I'm comfortable and it's okay to do that.
What is the law regarding shoes? I've never thought about this.
I honestly don't really know. I know in New York, like, they can go basically anywhere. They can go in the subway, they can go all over the street or whatever, but to go into stores, like, I think people can require them to wear shoes, like restaurants and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I did come across an interesting fact, which is while driving in all 50 states, it's legal to go without shoes.
Yeah, I've actually seen laws where you can't wear, like, heels because there's the fear that your heel might get stuck underneath the brake and you wouldn't be able to stop.
Yeah.
So,
well, I heard growing up that I had to wear shoes while driving, and I think a lot of other people have heard that as well, but it's actually a myth.
Yeah, I definitely heard that.
It's actually a myth. You can drive anywhere in the whole United States without shoes, legally.
Yeah, I remember being, like, 16 and being told by my parents I had to put shoes on, and I was like, what? Why?
Yeah, because you want to drive without shoes, right? Because it's comfortable. I mean, that's why it comes up as a question.
It's like, what do you need shoes for at that point? Like, you're not walking on anything. It's like the opposite of walking.
And
it's
your feet are more sensitive if you're not wearing shoes to the brake and the accelerator.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, if we're going back to sort of the gym thing and the fitness thing, because we wear shoes all the time, we end up not working out most of those muscles because your foot's essentially in a cast. And that's, like, the whole theory behind, like, the Vibram shoes, mm-hmm. is that you're working all your foot muscles, which are then connected to the lower leg muscles, which are then connected to the upper leg muscles, and all of this stuff is connected in terms of your balance and your agility and your ability to use all the parts of your foot, and it's not just up or down. Like, there are so many options to it. That's
right. It's kind of, I was just thinking about how this is similar to, like, those cultures where the women do go top free all the time because they're not wearing shoes. I mean, I'm imagining, really, but probably the men and the women don't wear any shoes in those cultures as well.
I bet there's a whole diversity of it, but yeah. I don't know. This is fascinating. I never would have thought about the two being connected at all. Yeah, that's super interesting. So I'm curious, we've been talking a lot about New York, but if you're familiar with the, and I'm not going to have the name right, the topless Pulp Fiction reading club?
Yeah.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
I am not in any way, like, affiliated with them, and I don't... I've seen a little bit about them online. I've seen, like, some pictures, but I really don't know much about their group.
Okay. All right. Yeah, my understanding is they just, like, get together in the park and read topless, mm-hmm. and that's the whole deal.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I mean, is that, like, tangentially related? Like, or is that performance art to you? Like, what?
I don't think they consider themselves activists, per se. But I think it's cool. I mean, what they're doing is within their legal right, and, you know, it's fine. Go for it, right?
Yeah, fair enough. So when you're doing activism, we've talked about, you know, sort of reactions as being either, like, positive or negative or something. Does it just draw attention to you more in general? Like, is that...
Yeah, I would say it does. It's interesting. I was going to mention, actually, last weekend I ran out of pasties, and so I was wearing a bikini top instead. I'm like, you know, my attorney was like, why don't you just wear a bikini top? You know, make this, you know, like, less confusing for the cops. And I'm like, well, it's kind of defeats the purpose. But actually, it is, you know, incremental, you know, an incremental step that's, you know, between wearing a shirt and, you know, going just with pasties. So since I didn't have any pasties, I was thinking, okay, I'll go out with a triangle top. So I did. You wouldn't believe the response I got. It was like, there were cars stopping. There were people like staring at me. I couldn't believe it because I had never actually gone out in like just a triangle top, but I didn't think it would be a big deal. But people were really like, whoa.
They were more reactive to that than to the pasties?
I wouldn't say they were more reactive, but they were almost as reactive, I would say. I got some like sneers too, like how could you wear that?
But it's so interesting because like we're so not that far away from the ocean where that would not be a thing at all.
Right, right.
I was taking
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. People are like, "Oh, which way to the beach?"
Yeah, but I mean, why is it so schema driven like that there's specific right. places? Mm-hmm. Like
it's controlled.
Yeah. And it's
right.
Like and we're not far from like the Jersey Shore where mm-hmm. it's not one of those like only certain types of bodies. It's like everybody. And yeah. it's just skin.
Right.
And people aren't super weird about it.
Right. Yeah.
What is the difference that they're just like.
It's social context. It's all social, like, you know.
Yeah. I guess it's because you're like, what? They're on vacation?
Used to it. Like, they're not used to it here. People walking around with a triangle top. So they're like. What does that remind me of? Oh, people wear that at the beach. Or like when someone's going around topless. Oh, what does that remind me of? Where have I seen breasts before? Oh, sex.
Where have I seen breasts before? Wait, I think I've seen this before. The guy that was in that movie. What else is he in? Oh, my vagina. I remember you. So speaking of the sexualizing of it, I mean, do you get harassment? Do you get hit on? Do you get attention that's like that you like getting in that way? Like,
no, I don't really get harassed. Like, people are like, "Oh, you made my day. That's okay. sweet." You know, or they're like, "Oh, you look good." But like, they could say that if I'm wearing it closed too. So it's not really too much. If anything, people err on the side of, like, not talking to me just to be, I think, out of respect or out of trying to be polite.
So where do you get your pasties?
Usually E-Zone or basically any of, the, like, the sex stores on South Street. They're disposable kind. But now I actually just got a little tiny bikini that's, like, it really only covers my nipples. So that's reusable. So it's functional.
It's so funny to me because it's like the history of pasties and burlesque and like the whole idea that there was like there's literally this like inch and a half of skin that you can't see as though nobody knows what's underneath there. Mm-hmm. And then the tassels are added so that if somebody like comes to raid the place from the back of the room, you can tell that their nipples are covered. So because look, I'm twirling this thing. Obviously, my nipples are covered. And it's just so ironic because it's drawing extra attention to the area. That we clearly know what's there. Like, this is not a secret. We have a pretty good... We could probably draw it. And it would be probably somewhere in the ballpark. Yeah. So, do you go through a lot of pasties?
Like, yeah.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. It seems...
But now I'm going to be wearing my bikini top, I think, more so. And it's just, like, a really small little triangle that just covers my nipples. And people are like, whoa, is that legal? Like, they asked me that. So...
So, are you actively engaging in changing any legislation? Like, are you writing to representatives to
change things? Not at the current moment. No, okay. I'm not. I think that this is just the work that needs to be done right now and just working, like, within the law, you know? Because we're still being oppressed, you know, even just exercising legal rights, wearing a triangle top. Some people have a problem with that. And they think that they have the right to tell other people how to dress. So I think on a cultural level is more important, the modifications that need to happen in society. So that's where the direction that I'm going with.
So normalize it first and then maybe legislation will follow as a result sort of idea? Or?
Well, I'm not doing anything illegal. Okay. So. Yeah, I think the more people feel comfortable with women in triangle tops and or wearing pasties, yeah, the law is definitely going to change, I think. So, yeah. That's why I think in places like New York, where it is already legal for women to go topless, it's important that they do, so that people realize that it can work in the United States, and so that other places will legalize it as well.
Have you ever had an experience where you were just hanging out and then somebody else was like, hey, that's a good idea, and then they took off their shirt too?
Totally.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So basically, yeah, in Philly, it happened a couple weeks ago. I was in the park and a few girls came over. They're like, hey, you know, we think what you're doing is awesome. And this girl was like, yeah, I would totally do it right now if I had pasties. And I was like, I have an extra pair with me. And we did it.
Interesting.
And then this one time, it was really fun on the subway in New York. I was like hanging out. I saw another woman that was like about my age, I guess. And she was like at the far end of the train. I was topless, and she like came walking over and sat like right like on the other side of the train near me, and she took off her shirt and was just like chilling, reading a book. And then, yeah, another woman, I think, she came up. She's like, that's awesome. I'm an exhibitionist. I want to do the same thing. I'm like, okay, cool. Let's do it. And so she took off her shirt and we walked for a couple blocks together.
Right on.
Yeah. And then my other friend actually, she was more like an acquaintance, but she was like, I love what you're doing. And I invited her actually to the NBC, or excuse me, CBS. Actually, I don't know the network, but in New York, they covered it on a sitcom, and they asked me to invite a friend, and I invited her, and we both went topless. So for her, that was like a new experience. Like, she had gone without a top, like, for modeling purposes, but in public, it was like a totally different thing. And so, yeah.
One of the places where I've seen probably the most topless activism ever is actually gay pride parades.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think the correlation is there?
I think that probably gay women or LGBT women, Q women, would be probably more like feminist or might know their rights a little bit more regarding their body. And they see that there's an inequality between men and women regarding that right. So, of course, they're going to do it to, you know, help affirm that we're equal.
And it's, for me, it's interesting because I feel like the dichotomy of feminist interests, sort of there's a particular emphasis on talking about sexual assault and the prevalence of harassment and making it clear to men how common of an experience it is. So, you know, the holla back movement and be like, these are things that happen. This is a thing that women experience all the time. And then this seems to be sort of like in a very different direction. This seems to be like, no, you can go out and do this and it'll be safe and you should go do this. And it's like, how do we rectify those two things happening at the same time and so people can make the decision based on, you know, the probability that they will be safe and that sort of stuff. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, well, partly what I'm doing is like an experiment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, am I going to be safe?
Yeah.
And I have been. And so, I mean, I think that it puts trust in men and it bestows kind of just a different belief system, I guess, in our culture to say, okay, women can dress like this and men are still able to be trusted and it will be safe.
That's so interesting. And I wonder if, you know, the experience is the same for women, you know, depending on like race and age. And like, you are like very, like, I mean this in the best way possible, very conventionally attractive. I wonder if people have different reactions, you know, if they are different. Like, do you have any
well, I think the fact that it would be like considered sexually arousing or sexually exciting for someone, like let's think about it, it might be a guy, okay? So if they consider it sexually arousing, that's a woman is walking around topless, but they know that it would be wrong to touch that person without their consent. It actually does, I think, encourage men to be responsible for their actions. And I think that it actually does fight sexual violence in that way, because it helps men to cultivate their willpower rather than just simply acting on a sexual impulse.
So to normalize that idea that it's like men aren't helpless.
Right.
Like, that they're not slaves to some sort of, like, lizard brain.
Right.
kind of thing. They're more advanced than that. Interesting. So what do you think going forward? What are you going to keep doing this for forever? Like,
is this... It could be a lifelong mission. Okay. I mean, it could be, sure. I mean, I don't see why not.
All right.
You know, because there's a lot of territories that still need to be, you know, changed. And in any case, like, I'm one person that's willing to do it. And I think that, like, it strengthens the breastfeeding case. That's a huge issue right now. Yeah. And it kind of, like, I guess, like, people have this idea of, like, the Madonna or the whore view of women. And it's like breasts kind of symbolize that. It's like, is it the whore or the Madonna? And people are having issues with Madonna as well. Like, you're breastfeeding, you know, breastfeeding your children, and people are still complaining about that. I mean, it just became legal to breastfeed in public in Georgia in 2005.
Well, I think that's nailing it on the head. Is that's the problem, is that if you have that specific... women are one or the other, and then you see a woman in a maternal role with breasts out, and your association is boobs. Where have I seen those before? If people can't rectify in their head that that is their reaction because they have the Madonna whore belief, I think their upsetness is the fact that both are existing at the same time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, it's like anti-woman. It's like, which one can I be a woman?
And just as a person? Like, independent of these two specific roles?
And another thing I was going to mention is, like, just because I'm the only person walking around topless doesn't mean I'm the only person that's supporting it.
Yeah.
And until we actually have these conversations, we're not going to know who actually supports it and who doesn't and what their response actually is. I speak with a lot of women who are, like, very strongly in support of it, but they wear a shirt. Okay, so it's not, like, visually apparent, maybe, just because they strongly believe it. That doesn't mean that they're going to do it, necessarily.
Like, wouldn't it be super ironic to sell t-shirts?
Yeah, right?
Like...
with nipples on them.
Or t-shirts that have just the nipple cut out. I don't know. It's like the opposite. I don't know. Like, I
still... Now we're getting creative.
I don't know. There's got to be some kind of option. Yeah. I feel like you should... have a line of clothing. It would be the most ironic thing ever.
Cute clothes to wear while topless.
Yeah.
Well, that's another thing. It's like, how is it worn? How do we wear topless in the United States or in Western culture?
It'd be a line of pants.
Skirts.
A line of jewelry.
There you go.
I don't know. So, like, in Berber jewelry, like, in North Africa, rather than, like, I mean, there are necklaces that definitely exist, but... one of the most common things other than headdresses is they pin, like, right underneath your shoulder. There's two really big ornate things that pin right underneath your shoulder, and then it hangs down, like, the same sort of line that that a necklace would. You obviously can't do that without a shirt, but you could have jewelry that sort of, like, still covers that same basic zone. I don't know. And if you could get it to stay in place, then it serves the same legal function as pasties,
right,
I guess.
Right, right. Yeah.
So... anybody out there wants to be the angel funding behind this, you contact Maura. So what suggestions do you have for people who are in solidarity with this, who want to do something? Like, what are, like, all along the spectrum of comfortability with doing it themselves, like, what can anybody do?
Okay, so if you want to become more comfortable with your body, for example, and more comfortable with going topless, one thing would be just doing it at home. By yourself, okay? That's, like, step number one.
I mean, that's a pretty...
is just go topless, do whatever you're doing, wash dishes. Well, you can maybe sometimes get a little bit of water on your breast, but just be careful and just do whatever. Paint your toenails, watch TV, and driving without a shirt on. Another thing would be, like, in Pennsylvania is just, like, wearing a midriff, wearing a triangle top, like I said. Just going with a sports bra when you work out rather than wearing a full shirt. Or, you know, just wearing a shirt that's a little bit smaller, or wearing a bikini top, like I said. And like I said, you can practice totally topless at Dhyana. It's Dhyana. I spoke with the owner last year, and she's totally in support of it because they allow men to go without a shirt. So if you're interested in the practice of yoga, or if you'd like to explore going topless in a semi and private environment that is probably totally safe, in my opinion, you could do that.
So the other day, I was talking to the woman who started the Unslut Project, which is a Tumblr where she's actually just posting her actual diary from when she was like 11 and 12. And I mean, she's changed the names, but it's to raise awareness about teen bullying around slut shaming and stuff like that. And just like how early it starts creeping in that people start jumping on women with the perception of sluttiness. And we talked a little bit about younger women, I think, are more likely to fear those labels. And they're also likely to fear being seen as cocky or like finding themselves beautiful. There's a very big stigma around, oh, so you think you're pretty. Like, and the perception that if you don't, like, when I immediately thought when you said go to the gym in a sports bra, I've overheard then conversations like, oh, she thinks she's hot shit because she can walk around without a shirt on, so she must think that her body's perfect or blah, 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 blah. And I think that actually might hold back a lot of people even more than, like, the moral thing. But, I mean, what do you think about any of that?
Absolutely. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, they people think that the person just is showing off or the person just wants attention.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously that's not true. You know, I don't know. I don't know what else to say about that.
I mean, do you have any thoughts on the socialization just of body hatred?
I mean, I think obviously women experience it like more so than men, but men do as well. I had somebody tell me about an experience. Guy was like a bigger guy, you know, like a little bit overweight, I would say. And he was riding a bike without a shirt, and, you know, people were like yelling at him for not wearing a shirt. So, and I think it goes body hatred is like, I guess sex hatred also is like, we're just not really that sex positive, maybe, as a culture.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think that it's problematic for everybody to have the idea that only certain bodies should be on display.
Yeah.
And that's definitely cultivated by the images that we see, because only certain bodies are on display.
Well, yeah. And there's also like arguments against both. It's like, oh, well, she thinks she's so beautiful, but she should put on a shirt. Or it's like, oh, it's always the people that shouldn't be topless that are topless. It's like, there's a, you know, it's just a self-affirming argument, whatever it is, you know?
And it's just a lot of judgy policiness is really what I hear, like body policing and telling other people what they can and can't do and should do with their bodies. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of these arguments really are. Do you think there's any validity to concerns that like maybe children shouldn't see it? Like, do you see validity in that argument?
Okay. Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, really? That's actually the reasons why I was arrested. All these times was basically, I've been arrested 3 times in Pennsylvania in the, like, twice in the past, I don't know, 5-6 weeks, and then once last year, and once in New York. It was actually because I was standing near a children's park. It was a public area, a public park, Union Square, for those of you who are familiar. And someone asked to do an interview with me, and we just happened to be near Union Square, and we happened to choose that place because it was open. But there was actually like a gate. It was like a cement gate, stones like that were like up to like my head, basically like behind me, and that's where the children's park was behind me. And so apparently adults had seen and called the cops, making a complaint because. Probably because they thought it was illegal. Basically, they're equating it to like, oh, a guy is walking around here without his pants on. Mm. You know, like somebody is fully nude or, you know. So, people definitely are like uncomfortable with it around children. I was arrested in the suburbs of Philadelphia for the same reason. Adults called because it's, you know, a lot of families in that suburb. And what else? And when I was in Rittenhouse Park, it was clearly an issue of like, that's actually a very common argument is like, there's children around here. like, that's not, it's not appropriate to have around children. Breasts are not appropriate for children. That's what they say.
And what do you think about that?
I say, I don't think that breasts are harmful to children. It wasn't the first thing that I was thinking about when I, you know, took off my shirt in my yoga class. But, you know, I don't think it's in any way. I think, if anything, I'd like to make a pretty strong point here, is that I'm not just standing up for women's rights. This seems like a women's rights issue. It's actually a rights of all females of all ages. So for females who are young, they may see, that's something that I can do when I grow up, or that's something I can actually do right now. It is, you know? Actually, like, females under the age of 10 can go without a shirt if they want, just like guys can. But that's obviously going to be up to the discretion of their parents as well. But the point is that they can look up to that and say, yeah, I can do that now. I can do that when I get older. That's an option for me.
It seems like a lot of these laws, not even necessarily... Well, of course, there's the argument that kids shouldn't be able to see it because of whatever. Which I don't really fully understand, because it's like, then they'll find out about sex as though they would not otherwise just know that they had genitals or like how they feel or something. Which is a whole thing, but, you know, there's a lot of legislation about what adults can do, around children, because there's just the perception that adults are predators.
Yeah.
And I think this is also sort of what you're talking about. Like, if we assume men are all predators, like,
yeah.
And I don't, like, how do you walk that fine line of, well, they do exist. Like, how do we protect children in general, not just from nudity, but like in general from predators, when in reality, like, the people who are most likely to offend against them are in their lives, not necessarily strangers who are hanging out in a park. But
sure. And like I said, I'm gonna say that I think that, like, for women to go around in public topless does strengthen, you know, a potential predator's ability to stop themselves. And so I do think that it contributes to protecting potential victims, including children.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
And then I think of, like, Nipplegate and Super Bowl, you know, with Janet Jackson, and how that same game, like, how many people had run into each other and seriously injured each other. And, like, that was fine. Like, hurting yourself to make money is fine. In fact, awesome. Nipple with awesome star piercing, bad news. Yeah, that whole thing is like, America, this is why you can't have nice things. reaction to that.
And also, it doesn't have to be sexual.
Yeah,
I mean, breastfeeding would be a prime example of that. That actually, for women to show their breasts and to feed their children is nourishing our future. So
I think that is an awesome final point to make. So, and if people want more information on this, what do you suggest as resources, references?
There's a Canadian website called, well, it's Top Free Equal Rights Association. So it's TERA.ca. And they are basically a non-biased, I guess, outlet for top freedom all over the world of the latest news. So I would suggest Top Free Equal Rights Association.ca, Canada.
And do you want to give a shout out for yourself? Like, do you want people to hit you up on Twitter or is there anything
sure.
like that?
Sure. Well, I have a Facebook. It's Moira Johnston. And so you can like my page to stay updated on the latest. And I also have a website. It hasn't been updated in a while, but I may start to update it soon. So you can go toplessmoira.com.
Toplessmoira.com. Mm-hmm. I think I can remember that. Awesome. Okay. So I want to thank you very much for coming today and for talking about this.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and have an awesome day. Thank you for listening to Sex with Timory. Sex with Timory, the podcast, is produced by Nathan Karuna. Our opening music is by Charles Evans. Our closing music is by Hanya Lee. Be sure to check out sexwithtimory.com, Sex with Timory on Facebook, and tweet at me, Timory_LEIGH. If you're a fan of the show, if you like it at all, a little bit maybe even, rate and review us on iTunes and tell your friends all about it. And thank you.
Hey, Sex with Timmery people, you should totally come join me at the Philadelphia Podcast Festival. It's August 1st through 3rd at Philomoka and Philly Camp. You can come out and see 3 nights of great Philly-based podcasts, and they're recording their shows live in front of you, the audience. The lineup for some of the shows includes Talkadelphia, Story Shuffle, Talking Nerdy, The Pincushion, Stark Raven Mad, Potent Brew, and of course me, Sex with Timmery, and more. Plus, there's going to be special guests, contests. I'm bringing pole dancers, y'all. There's going to be a whole lot of excitement. So find out more information about the shows and tickets at phillypodfest.com.